Welcome to the Responsible Management Podcast from the University of Bradford School of Management. My name is David Spicer. I'm the School's Director of Business and Community Engagement and delighted once again to be hosting the podcast today. Our topic today is on the DBA and the impact that doing a DBA can have in terms of your personal and professional outcomes. And I'm delighted today to be joined by two DBA graduates who I'll introduce in a second and the director of our DBA programme. So in terms of our speakers and contributors, we've got Dr. Salman Dawood Abdullah. Salman's a veteran industry leader with over 40 years experience across operations, sustainability and business transformations in the aluminium industry. He's held senior executive roles at Dubai Aluminium and Emirates Global Aluminium, including chief operations officer and senior vice president of Altawiya Operations. Salman holds both his MBA and Doctorate of Business Administration from the University of Bradford, where his research examined the impact of leadership on safety performance in safety-critical organisations. Dr. Olasike Bamisebi is an entrepreneur and seasoned business leader with over 20 years' experience across consulting, financial services, power, fintech, telecoms, technology and supply chain sectors. Olasike has held senior finance and business leadership roles at Accenture, Nokia and Celliant, and she's led successful business turnarounds, strengthened governance and financial controls, and successfully raised debt financing through issuing corporate bonds. She holds her MBA from Manchester's Alliance Business School and her DBA, Doctor of Business Administration, from here at the University of Bradford, where she examined the role of technology-based incubators as policy instruments to advance firm effectiveness in emerging economies for sustainable development. We're also joined by Dr. Kutimani Talamandi. Kuti is an Associate Professor of Marketing and the Director of the DBA program here at the School of Management. His research interests are in social media and online consumer behaviour, and before joining academia, he held positions in the banking and financial services sectors in the Middle East and India before becoming a founding member of award-winning educational startup Flintobox, and he also currently serves as an academic advisor to the edtech startup PhDScanner.com, which curates and promotes global PhD opportunities. So delighted to be talking to you all this afternoon. Really delighted to have an opportunity to talk about the value and the impact of the DBA. But as you know, the topic of the podcast broadly is about responsible management. So I guess we'll start there. What does responsible management mean for you? CK, can I come to you first?
Thanks for having me. I think having been a business leader for many, many years, for me, responsible management is that constant trade-off between aggressive growth versus strengthening of controls, being transparent even when it is not as comfortable, and building capacity and capability versus scaling. So overall is about making ethical and strategic choices and me having the courage, you know, to hone the consequences of those choices over time.
Brilliant. Thank you. Salman, would you recognize that?
Hi, David. Thank you for having me on the program. For me, being a responsible management have multiple angles. I agree with CK that it has to be, you know, all around. You have to be fair towards the organization. You have to be your authentic self with no facade. So you are who you are, so people can see you as it is, without any filters. But also, in addition to the organization, you have to be fair on the social aspects of the employees. And if you come from industry like I do, you have to be, as a responsible management, take care of the impact your manufacturing has on the environment and the long term. So it's a multifocal approach of being a responsible management.
Brilliant, thank you. And Kuti, you'd recognize that, I'm sure.
I totally agree with CK and Salman. It's not, when we talk about responsible management, it's not growth at any cost. It's a kind of theme which we're having here. It's having purpose over the performance, or rather like putting long-term objectives over short-term gain. In a nutshell, it's doing something having a long-term impact on communities, environment, and the people overall, not at growth at any cost. That's what I think responsible management actually means. And this is what also we encourage at in DBA in terms of research-driven leadership, so we can create value responsibly in sense of wider community. So I think in a nutshell, it's not just a short-term gain. We want to focus on a bit of long-term impact, I believe. Yeah.
Thanks, Kuti. There's a great segue there, isn't it? Because I was going to come on and ask you both as DBA graduates, what's the link perhaps between responsible management and what you did in your DBA? And yeah, perhaps tell us a little bit about your DBA and how you settled on those topics. So, Salman, do you want to go first this time?
So, I mean, my background is grounded in power engineering. And after doing my degree, when I went back in the power industry, I found there were, unfortunately, even small mistakes made by people can lead to catastrophic consequences. And this has always been burning at the back of my mind. When I started project management, what happens is if a project is falling behind, you throw resources at it and it covers up. But then I started making certain observations of big organizations, big safety critical organizations such as NASA, such as Boeing, such as General Motors and British Petroleum. And they are really serious organizations who are very focused on safety of their people. Yet after decades of investing in safety, they were still having serious incidents. And I think it all came to a front with the 737 MAX, which is one of the latest aircrafts, and still brand new aircrafts crashed within 18 months, killing multiple people. So as a person from the industry, I was extremely interested in understanding what are the nuts and bolts which leads to such incident. And of course, it's a social, techno-social interaction. It's not just a good technology, or it's not just you train your people up to the mark. It's a complex interaction and interdependence between social and technical aspects. And that's how I settled on it, to study if authentic leadership could make a difference and start changing the curves or the safety patterns in these large safety critical organizations. So that's how I got to the topic, which I did for my DBA.
Brilliant. So if I generalize out of that slightly, it's about recognizing a fundamental complex industrial kind of challenge that related to your practice, and the DBA is a vehicle for exploring and extending your understanding in that regard.
Absolutely. So DBA allowed me, because it's got more practical aspect, it's academically extremely well grounded, but it kind of allows you to be maybe away from the campus, be on your plant, and with the same rigor look at the relevance of the how the people who have written for decades, how is that relevant in today's modern industrial plants, and what could be extracted with the lens of authentic leadership, and how can that make a difference on the shop floor?
Brilliant. CK, I guess you'd hopefully recognize that broad imperative about understanding a complex issue from practice perspective.
Absolutely. And I think in my case, I, of course, having worked as a CFO and CEO for many, many years across multiple sectors and making decisions at a firm level, I wanted more. I wanted to make an impact in institutions, in policy making. And I remember that I started to, you know, have more interest in economic development. And I think the day I finally made up my mind was when I studied an article by the World Economic Forum as to what, you know, make a factor-driven economy. So, of course, I live in an emerging economy, so it's always very frustrating to, you know, to see that, okay, why aren't we as developed, you know, as other places we go and other places that we're exposed to? So it's been my frustration. And then reading this article and then seeing, first the difference between innovation-driven economies and factor-driven economies. And really, it all boils down to institution. And I asked myself to say, okay, what can I do in my own capacity to be able to, make an impact in the institution of the emerging economy that I'm currently in? And of course, looking at what I was exposed to, I started to look at, what are the policy instruments that are easily available, that can make my particular context at the time more competitive on the world scale. So I narrowed it down to incubators, and of course, going through the DBA journey, I decided to go with technology-based incubators so that it's not too broad, and it's something that we can relate to, and it's the age where we are in. So my DBA looks like at the role of technology-based incubators as policy instruments, for firm effectiveness and sustainable development in emerging economies. And that's the goal, to be able to make an impact in policy making, not just at the firm level.
Brilliant, thank you. We'd recognise that as a key driver of the DBA, wouldn't we? Research with relevance, that's a key
Absolutely.
expectation.
Yeah, how to marry regard with relevance. That's a core of a DBA DNA. That's something like very integral to DNA, how to match this regard and relevance, both Salman and Siki has demonstrated. It's good Siki said like it's an emerging economy, because I used to, one day I felt like it was a developing economy. Some countries are called developing countries. I was thinking, what do you mean, developing countries? Are they not developed yet? It's good you use the term emerging economy, which is really good. Yeah, yeah,
Dare I say it, that's a topic for a whole other podcast on another day. We could do a whole session on that one. My job's to keep us on track today. So CK Sama, if I can come back to you. Yeah, you've talked about the nature of the problem that you were seeking to address, which is kind of great. But what led you to do the DBA, as it were? Why the DBA is the vehicle for addressing that? So CK, please.
Of course, because of my background, I was an executive making decisions at a firm level and building businesses. So I wanted to marry, academic with practice. So meaning that I still continue in my capacity as a professional, but then, then imbibing the academic rigor and the discipline, in academia to be able to do that. So I think it boils down to that. I must confess that I actually consulted widely, and I studied widely. I considered a PhD, but very quickly I realized that it wasn't for me, just because of the practical element that was lacking.
I'm just cutting into the podcast to tell you a little bit about the offer that we have for businesses locally as part of the business and community engagement support. We have our Knowledge Transfer Network, that's regular networking events where you can come on campus, meet like-minded people, hear from some of our and leading industry experts. We have our Bradford Business Challenge projects, where we have students coming out and working with you and supporting the work that you do. We have our consultancy clinic, where we have students delivering on short-term small projects for businesses as well. There's also lots of ways that you can engage with and interact with our students as guest lecturers, as mentors on some of our entrepreneurship programs, and through involvement in the curriculum. And equally, from a research perspective, we can work with you on collaborative research. If you think there's something we can help with, please reach out to us at BACE, that's base, BACE, at bradford.ac.uk. Thank you, and now back to the podcast. Okay, brilliant. Thank you. Salman, does that resonate?
Absolutely, it resonates. I think CK covered all the bases. Like her, I looked around. It was, as I mentioned, a topic very close to my heart. And I have lost my manager in one of the incidents. So it was something very personal. But to try and do a PhD in a serious manner means you have to be away from work. And that was not very helpful. So the Bradford DBA allows you to come to meet the faculty, spend time with them for the modules, but also go away on the real world and test your thinking and your learnings out there. And it helps to evolve your mind in the direction you want to take, and it filters out what may be the hidden driver behind your research question. So the DBA checks all those boxes and has is a I truly believe, and I'm not just saying honestly for the purpose of the podcast, but I think a DBA is extremely underestimated by many executives, and I truly believe executives who are on the cutting edge should have something like this to understand what the academia has already said about the topic and the challenges that they are facing, and bring it to the real world and how it is relevant in today's world. DBA provides that critical bridge. That's what it did for me.
Brilliant. I'm going to add another R. So we talked about relevant research. I'm going to add the word rigorous to that as well. It's a
Rigor.
rigor. Yeah, that's the process. That's the outcome that you get from this, isn't it, Kuti?
Absolutely. I think Siki has, while Siki was explaining her experience, even Salman as well, I found how she explained like terminals like innovation-driven economy, factor-driven economy. There are a set of kind of frameworks, which Salman has also highlighted, which academia already has. So which you can build on those frameworks to look the same business problem from a different perspective. I've been an entrepreneur myself. I've been involved in startups. I watch shows like Shark Tank very closely. In one of the pitches, the entrepreneur was talking about D2C, like that to consumer companies who were selling shoes. But the entrepreneur never thought about like retail outlets, for example. Like if you study marketing strategy, it gives four piece framework like product, price, place, and promotion. They didn't think beyond like there in the nutshell. Like sometime I think that's what academia does. It gives a very good framework for you to look your business problem in a different perspective, which I think Salman and Siki has rightly highlighted how academia can give that kind of learning curve and frameworks to look at the same problem from a different perspective, I believe.
I would absolutely agree with that. It's that ability to have that sustained and critical consideration of the challenge that or the issue that you want to address is the real value that you get from this. And hopefully that's been impactful. That's the title that I put on the podcast episode. So no pressure on the next question, but what impact has that had, on you guys personally, professionally, hopefully positive in terms of kind of practice in organizations? What have been the highlights in terms of the impact? So who would like to go first?
Okay,
Siki,
I think it's a good point. So on a lighter note, I think the DBA itself, looking back, feels like an out of body experience. Each time I look back, I can't still believe that I have it. But that's by the way. If I look at myself, post the DBA, personally, I think there's more clarity in the way I think, in the way I define and deconstruct problems, which you solve problems, every day as a professional. But the DBA, what the DBA gives you is that, it just taking a step back each time to actually look at what the real problems are and being able to, to solve them with evidence. I think when you've, conducted research, like I researched 195 entrepreneurs in two countries, it sort of, just gives you that ability to make sure that you question everything deeply. So on a personal note, it has helped me. Professionally, I think, in decision making, I see myself actually applying real evidence to making decisions, not necessarily based on what I've experienced before, but real time evidence, to make decisions. And I think that the one that is closest to my heart is forever just interrogating the impact of what my decisions will be. Why am I doing what I'm doing? What impact will it make, not only on my organization, but on the community, at large? And I think the DBA was able to give me that.
Brilliant. Salman.
Yes, once again, CK covered extremely well. On a personal note, if you see where some of the DBA students are coming from, I had already had an experience of over 10 years as an executive. And before entering into the DBA program, you think, I've seen it all. I've done my engineering degree. I've done my MBA. I know it all. I have a lot of experience. And going through the DBA process, it humbles you down properly. It really shows you the enormous amount of work people have done out there, which gives you the opportunity to dive into the minds of these great people who, over the decades, over the years, have written so much. And again, with the rigor required and with the data, it's all out there. And it's an extremely, on a personally, a very humbling experience. And one thing I would say to any DBA student is, no matter how much you read, there's much, much more to read forever. So it's a very humbling experience for myself. On a professional level, when you are with your peers in an executive committee, a lot of the time, in the heat of the moment, there is a lot of opinions flying around based on personal experiences. And it's like a brainstorming thing amongst the executive level. But having done DBA, when you speak up, you're speaking based on data, you're speaking based on proper research. And really, after a while, people sit up and listen to you and say, no, this makes sense, because it's grounded in proper studies and research and data. So professionally, it has a huge impact, and I think it helps the organization to clear the mist around the topic and clarifies for the whole executive team to move forward in the right direction based on proper research and data.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's having that evidence base, isn't it? That being able to have the warrant behind the argument you're making that stands up to that scrutiny is a big part of the process, I guess.
Absolutely. Yes.
I mean, it is a process. It's usually several years. I don't want to put you on the spot and ask how many years you took to do your DBAs. You may have suppressed that anyway. But over that period, what were some of the biggest challenges and the greatest points of achievement in that journey doing the DBA? So I'll come back to you first, Salman, this time.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, especially in the University of Bradford, we have a lot of non-native speakers coming from all over the world. And for me, one of the challenges was to get your thoughts on a piece of paper which somebody else can read and still understand. I mean, yes, I've done my MBA, but it's the articulating your thought processes in a way as you have understood in your mind. And because when you think about it, you think, oh, wow, I found the best thing since sliced bread. But when you put it on a paper, it just like a busted cake, which just doesn't work. So it's a bit of repetition, but at the end of the day, it does help you improve your articulation on a piece of paper. It sounds trivial, but it is a challenge for non-native speakers,
Well,
in
I
memory.
wouldn't say it's just a non-native speaker's challenge. I think that one of the biggest challenges, I still remember it doing my doctorate, I'm not going to admit how many years ago, is that shift in expectations in terms of the precision and the way in which you have to write at that level from anything you've done previously. As a, like yourself, I was an MBA student before I did my doctorate. It's a big step up, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the best part is, the wonderful part of it is, yes, it's tough, but you have a great safety net with your supervisors and your peers and the students. So it's a safe place, and at time it seems very daunting, but as long as you have that fire in the belly, you just keep moving forward and you do get there. The greatest point of achievement, survived. I didn't survive, came out alive on the other end. I think that's achievement. Yeah, that's all.
Brilliant. So CK, you're still here as well. Is that a big achievement for you?
Yeah, and I agree with Salma, and I think I'll probably even go a step further. At some point, I think the biggest challenge is I started to question myself, am I good enough for this program? But then I answered myself, if I'm not good enough, with an MBA, who is? And it's very challenging to actually get that clarity. So you have this very big idea, but to sort of narrow it down to something that you can study and can come out with, the outcomes that you actually envisage is very challenging. I think in my case, I think it took about 2 years just for me to be able to narrow down my research area to something that can fit within one DBA. So that was by far my biggest challenge on the program. But I think that on another note, the university actually has, a very supportive, faculties. So even though I was struggling, but I only struggled to the next, meeting with my supervisors where, they were able to clear all doubts and put me back on track. So the second challenge I had actually personal events, because you're doing a DBA, your life doesn't stop. There will be events. So if you do an MBA, like in my case, for 7 years, you have, life events, you have losses, you have relocation, you have so many things. And combining that with the DBA can be very challenging. But I think that, just as on the program itself, I had enough support from the university. So the biggest win for me is actually being able to come up with a framework that is useful for incubator managers, entrepreneurs, and policy makers. And just, the work that I was able to come up with, of course, in addition to the doctorate itself.
Brilliant, thank you. Yeah, that sort of resilience. I'm going to get another R in now in terms of kind of sticking with the program through those challenges is a big part of that, isn't it? Doctorates are 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration, which is a very hackneyed statement, but it's true. It's about kind of keeping with that journey and dealing with those kind of challenges and those issues. So I'll come back to you both, and then I'll come to you, Kuti. My kind of just if there was one thing that you know now that you wish you knew at the start of the program, with the benefit of hindsight, what would that be? What's the thing if you were, thinking about you starting the process? What advice would you give yourself?
I think one thing which you have to be clear at the beginning, that the topic you are going for should be super important to you. I mean, that's from my experience. Because the trials you have to go through, and as CK mentioned, all the time life is happening. You're losing people, things are changing, world is changing. So the topic has to be something which is really important. Yes, you will fall down from the horse, but then if you have the closeness to the topic, you'll get back on the horse every single time. And that importance of that topic is are the roots from which the resilience tree emerges.
Brilliant. CK.
I think I didn't know how rigorous a DBA can be. I think that's the first that's the first surprise, and I wish I knew. Maybe I don't, really, but I didn't know how rigorous it was. I wish I didn't prioritize moving fast. I should have moved, very slowly and steady, and probably I would have cut, those years from 7 to 5. The more I wanted to get the program over with and not doing what I was supposed to do, from a theory, grounded theory perspective, from methodology, from developing my models, I just get sent back to the kitchen. Yeah. So that wasted a lot of time. So I wish I knew that. And I think something that I wish I knew was that, passion wasn't enough. You got to put in, the rigor in actually, because a doctorate is not, it's not like writing a novel. A thesis is not a novel. Yeah. It's not a book, it's a thesis, and there's some things that are, that you need to put in. So initially I couldn't differentiate between me just pouring down my thoughts and actually conducting an actual research. And I wish I knew that.
Brilliant. I'm smiling and chuckling because I think I've given all of those points of feedback to DBA students over the years. Yeah, it's a marathon, not a sprint, in terms of the time that it takes, and you need to kind of sort of pace it accordingly. And I've said on more than one occasion, if you want to write a book, that's great, but can we write the thesis first? Yeah, because that's the priority. Brilliant. Thank you both. Well, Kuti, can I come to you? I mean, I didn't say at the outset, but you've recently taken on leadership of the DBA program. So what are your priorities for the DBA?
So three main priorities. The first one is, of course, keeping the DBA true to its DNA, which is that marrying rigor with relevance. It's really good we are doing this podcast. We could keep on building on top of this. One of my key priorities, the first thing is to do a DBA impact series. For example, Salman was talking about authentic leadership and how he tested his idea in the real world, collecting data. Siki has interviewed as much as 194 entrepreneurs. So we don't want to leave the impact of the outcome of their research. Maybe the short-term goal is to build on this conversation and do a DBA impact series, so where we can showcase this outstanding research, which is research-informed leadership. That's one. The second is try to build a sense of community. For example, if Siki and Salman have a conversation amongst themselves, so if you could build a sense of belonging and community beyond, once they've completed their degree, where they can, because learning happens between each other as well, because in a master's program and other undergrad programs, there is a cohort, they come to together. But in a DBA, although we have thought element, once they go to research stage, that stops. So one way we're trying to do this is, in the future, we want to schedule the, especially the block teaching during the doctoral conference, for example, where they have more time to know each other. This is something, second priority I'm working on. The third most important priority is we have done some analysis on a cohort of our DBA students. We see a lot of students are international, in particular from the Middle East, and we are trying to introduce DBA in Dubai. So going forward, someone is nodding. So hopefully, students doesn't need to travel that far all the way from Middle East. So they it could, especially I believe, managing the time between going to the companies and doing a DBA could be really demanding. So especially given most of our students are international, especially from the Middle East. So this is one of the topmost priority as well, introducing DBA in Dubai, so they can manage their work and studies much better. And it's also especially for students who are self-funded, it could have cost implications as well. So really these three are top priority, keeping DBA true to its DNA, try to build upon the wonderful research, the research-informed leadership, try to come up with the DBA impact series. Maybe I can bring in someone and see if they're okay to build upon this. And
Well, I feel like
then
this is the launch event for that impact series now, isn't it? Let's be honest.
absolutely. And try to have that sense of community so they can we have this kind of dialogue going. And most importantly, maybe Salman have a comment on how he would have felt if he had a DBA in Dubai when he was starting. Yeah. So these are some of top three priorities for me now. Yeah.
That's great. We've discussed I think the community part is a big part of the DBA, and
Yeah.
actually, we've not supported that as much as we could have done in recent years, perhaps. But actually, the community is there. It just needs that little bit of support and kind of engagement. And everybody interested in the DBA, how can they find out more about the program?
Absolutely. So the best good starting point would be the website, university website. So it has all the information, like entry requirements, the program structure, what kind of modules, especially because it has a thought element as well. All this information is there. That's a good starting point because it gives it has a frequently asked question section. And if somebody hasn't got enough information after going through that, you can always attend DPU Open Days. We usually, it's a part of postgraduate research open days. We are in talks to introduce exclusive DBA Open Days so people know like it's for DBA. So most often people may not realize DBA falls under postgraduate research. So we are trying to introduce DBA Open Days so it hits a nail. And even after that, if you want more information, we are revamping the website a little bit where it will give an option to book a one-to-one appointment with myself as a DBA director and people in the admissions team. So we can go through your questions a bit more in detail. For example, what is the difference between a DBA and PhD, which have been already discussed as well. How could it could align with the career goals. So website to start with, then you can attend open days. If you have more questions, please feel free to drop a line or we will have option to book a one-to-one meeting with me or the admissions team so we can get all your questions answered.
Yeah, and I would say, of course, it is reach out to academics in areas that you're interested in as well, where profiles, profiles are on the school's kind of website. And we're always keen to talk to people, even if it's just at the ideas stage. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
So two final questions for you all, if that's okay. So the first one of those is what advice would you want to give to anyone thinking about doing a DBA? Yeah, so anybody who's sat there listening to this thinking, well, actually, should I, shouldn't I? What would you say to them? Salman, I'll come to you first.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's the clarity of purpose. I mean, think very clearly why you want to do this. If you just want to do it, you're thinking, oh, this is a easier way of getting a doctorate title, don't do it, because it is as rigorous as a PhD program. So that should be a reason not to do it. Be clear and have a purity of your purpose and make sure you're determined, the topic is important to you. You may not know 100% what the resolution may look like, what the answers to your research questions or your thought processes are, but you have to be in love. At least that was my case. You have to be in love with the topic you want to investigate on.
Yeah, if you don't love it on day one, it's definitely not going to be something you love at the end of that process. That's
absolutely.
For sure. CK.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with Salma. I feel like don't have anything to add. You know, just once you've connected with your why and you're sure that the DBA is for you, just do it. Don't think about the rigor. Just go all in and do it.
Yeah, we've all been through that process. It is achievable. Brilliant. Kuti, you'd recognize that, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Why is the most important? Maybe to add a little bit, you also maybe need to consider what you want to do after DBA, for example, why you want to do it, what you want. It's for me, example, I worked in industry. I did a PhD because from day one, I knew I wanted to switch to academia. So what you want, why is important? Also, what you want after getting this degree could be also something really needs to answer that as well. Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you. And then our final question, we've asked all of our contributors over the series this kind of question. So who's your management hero? That can be somebody personally or professionally, an individual who's inspired or influenced you over your career. So CK, can I come to you first?
That would be my manager when I was in Accenture. So for the purpose of the podcast, we call her AA. And I think she's still my hero till date, because she gave me a chance to prove myself, and even when I didn't think that, you know, I could go on, you know, even when I felt that I was crumbling, you know, under the workload, crumbling, you know, to keep myself in the firm, she encouraged me and she built me up, you know, to be one of the best performing. So I think she's my hero.
Brilliant. Salman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you just have to understand the context of the part of the world I come from is when the Americans were saying they're landing a man on the moon, I'm saying when they were saying they're landing the man on the moon, we were thinking of opening primary schools. So from that context, the manufacturing industry in this part of the world is still very, very young. And the person who has been my mentor and my hero is our managing director, who started in the industry at the absolute shop floor level, and he is now retiring as the managing director at the topmost position in an organization. And he has always guided the young people towards getting the education and putting things in practice. And so he's an absolute leader for me and absolute mentor for me.
Brilliant, thank you. And Kuti.
It's really difficult to just name one person, but in the spirit of the park course, maybe in terms of responsible management, if I think about really inspiring leaders who would combine humility with vision, and since I'm originally from India, I would think the late Ratan Tata, who we call as not a business person, more like an industrialist who has genuinely care for people, developing them. So he's a really great leader, I would believe, yeah. Especially in terms of responsible management and how he has lived his life. Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you all very much. Really, really enjoyed the conversation. If people want to contact you, what's the easiest way to do that? So let's go back round. So Kuti.
The easiest way to contact me is, of course, through my official email ID. It might be really difficult to spell out, but if you could, it's k.tamilmani@bradford.ac.uk. So if it's difficult, please search for my name, Kutimani Tamilmani Bradford, you should be able to find my email ID there. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we're fairly easily findable on the web, academics at the
Yeah,
university. Brilliant.
yeah.
Salman?
Yep, probably through my LinkedIn page. My name, as it appears on the podcast, you can find me easily on LinkedIn. But also, if you want to contact me via email, just put an S before my name. So ssalman@yahoo.com.
Brilliant, thank you. And TK.
Yes, you can also search me on LinkedIn, Shikeba Mishibi, and you'll find me.
Brilliant. So yeah, LinkedIn is always great, isn't it? You should find us all on there
Absolutely, yeah.
fairly easily. If you want to reach out to me, again, I'm on the university website, on the social medias. Not that I'm very good on the social medias. It's at Dave P. Spicer on a platform formerly known as Twitter. I still can't bring myself to call it X. Or if you want to follow the school, it's at Brad Management, or we've got, school on LinkedIn as well. And we're delighted to kind of hear from you on that kind of basis. Hopefully you've enjoyed the podcast. Again, thank you all for your contribution. You have enjoyed what you've heard. Please like and subscribe. That's the kind of thing we have to say on these things. Leave us a 5-star review. Kuti's laughing at me because that's why I say that far too often in far too many environments. But I have to. That's the game we're playing. Again, all, thank you very much for your time today. I've found it a really stimulating conversation. Thank you. If you've got a project that you'd love to get done, but you're struggling with the time and resources to do that, that's something that we can help you with. Bradford Business Challenge projects are where we get our students to do, as part of their dissertation, a piece of applied management work for a business like yourself. Either one of our final year undergraduate or MSc students, with the support of an academic mentor, will be able to work on that project for you. There's no cost for you as a business. All we ask for you is to set up with us that project, give us a kind of outline brief that the student will go away and work into a full proposal for you, and then you'll be meeting and liaising with them and their academic advisor to get that project delivered. Because we have multiple students doing these over the course of the year, there's usually a group of students looking for any project at one time. So if that's something that you're interested in and you'd like to know more about, please reach out to us at base@bradford.ac.uk.